I'm Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan.
And we are still the Ninja Turtle Nerds, despite a little bit of a break we've had in between uploads there. How you been, Sean?
I've been good. I have you watched the trailer? I've watched it like 5 times. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I watched it a handful of times. I listened to it while I was driving and couldn't watch it, but I absorbed it fully. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I don't see how anyone should be concerned about it at this point.
So. Yeah, and that's, you know what, before we get too far into it, that's what we should say this episode is we're doing a little bit of an update here since they dropped a new trailer. We're going to talk about our thoughts on the new trailer, and we're going to talk about kind of where Ninja Turtle Nerds is heading before the new season starts. So, let's get into our thoughts on that new trailer. So, my first impression, and I already posted this to Twitter, so if you follow us on Twitter, you get my thoughts a little bit ahead of time. But my first thought is that the only complaint I have so far about this movie, everything looks great, but I feel like the villain's motivation seems so much like old Hob that I'm kind of upset they didn't use him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he's saying a lot of things about how, like, you know, mutants are a brotherhood and everybody, you know, they're never going to accept us. And it's like very much old Hob dialogue about, like, you know, and old Hob himself is kind of the Magneto, you know, insert character. But yeah, it feels very old Hob.
All right. Yeah, that didn't occur to me, but I can see that. I think...
If anyone's listening to this that doesn't know who Old Hob is, like if you're listening because you like just hearing us talk about the comics or you like the, you know, the cartoons or whatever, Old Hob is in the IDW series, which we haven't gotten to yet. And like I said, he's basically like Magneto. He's like, you know, mutant brotherhood. Mutants are the thing that are good and the humans bad. So, yeah.
So I still have to wait till obviously we see the movie. I still have not adjusted to Donatello's voice sounding so much younger. But
see, this time it didn't stand out to me. I think I've adjusted.
Okay. I'm thinking once I see the movie, I will. But I mean, other than that, and I'm sure this is going to get some hate, I kind of prefer this art style to the Spider-Verse art style now that I've kind of seen it in action more.
They look similar to me. I mean, what do you see as them being different?
This one has a little bit more of a hand-drawn feel to it.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying. So you're not talking about, like, the animation in particular. You're talking about, like, specifically the art.
Yeah. So I'm kind of... Not that I don't like the Spider-Verse art, but I really, really like the art for this. And I was thinking about it from the trailer. What I hope happens is that we're going to get 3 movies... Because if they can do this mutant mayhem thing successfully, and then the next movie could be, you know, City at War, Enter the Foot, whatever you want to do with Shredder and the Foot. And then the third movie can either be the Savante Romero time travel stuff, or it could be them in space with the Utrums and the Triceratons. And I think that would be an awesome trilogy.
How cool would it be if they did a Ninja Turtles 3 for this? I mean, looking way ahead in the future. But if the third one was a time travel movie and they called it Turtles in Time, and it just completely made good all our hopes as children for that third Ninja Turtle movie. Like, it delivers the movie we wanted back then. That would be so cool.
It would. And what I really like about this... is I know this obviously has a ton of villains in it, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be overwhelming. Like, that's the sense I'm getting from the trailer. And I really like, though, I'm going to be really surprised if Superfly is not Baxter Stockman. But yeah. I like that they at least sort of came up with an original villain. So
I don't think he's gonna be, because there was something I think there was like separate toys or something like that. There was something with the toy line that indicated he's not Baxter Stockman, but I don't know specifically what that was. Email us if you know. We haven't been here to say that to you in a while.
But yeah, no, I'm really, really excited for it now. I think they get the Turtles dynamic like perfect.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely looks like a Goonies, like those, you know, Stand By Me type of movie, which I love those type of movies. We grew up on those type of movies. And you and I have had conversations before about how they kind of don't make those anymore.
Yep.
I mean, Stranger Things aside, that was really a throwback to these. I won't say they don't make them, but they're not as common as they used to be, you know. Sandlot, these kids movies about being kids, starring actual kids and not like, you know, 19-year-olds playing a 15-year-old. And yeah, they don't make like Stand By Me type movies anymore. And it's so fun to watch those movies and remember, you know, what childhood was like before you had bills and responsibilities.
Yeah. So I think they definitely have nailed that. I like the designs of the turtles. They are like differentiated more than I thought they were. So that's really good. And I'm kind of enjoying Jackie Chan Splinter. That was pretty good stuff.
I like seeing that, like, the turtles kind of also in this so far remind me of Danny from the 1990 movie.
Yep.
Like wanting, like, you know, a sense, like especially Leonardo's speech about wanting to belong somewhere and needing like community and stuff like that, and all this just being young and stupid and getting involved with gangs and stuff like that. Like, there's I don't think they're doing it intentionally. It's, you know, those are broad strokes for teenagers, but it's just funny that it feels like Danny's personality is in there somewhere.
And I'm intrigued by April. I like what I've seen with her. That was probably my favorite part, is when she's like explaining the whole Superfly thing. And she goes, "No one's seen his face. Why? Because anyone who has, he kills." And they're all like, "That's awesome." And she's like, "Well, no, it's not." And they're like, "No, it is." So, I don't know. I like how gung-ho they are about just jumping in. And like I said, the art style I really like. So yeah, it's just, I guess
it's interesting that there's no Casey Jones so far. I thought maybe we'd get that in the second trailer, even though I don't think there's been a toy leak or reveal about him yet either.
I could see him showing up in the next movie, maybe.
Yeah, it just seems strange that, like, obviously the focus of this, even the title being Mutant Mayhem, you know, the focus of this movie is mutants. So, and he's not a mutant. So, but it seems strange when you have this many characters, you know, to not have any Casey Jones. And who knows, you know, I'm sure a lot of these are going to be people that have like one line or just, you know, in it really quick, but.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know. I don't think all the mutants are going to be like, I think it's going to be like a core couple. So like Bebop, Rocksteady, Superfly, and I don't know, one or two others. And I'm guessing Mondo Gecko will be a good guy by the end. I liked the moment with him too. I'm just glad they got Paul Rudd to be him.
And I'm not as far as like, I've seen people online complaining like outright that it's a negative towards this movie that Casey Jones isn't in it. And I'm not saying that because, like, yeah, I understand you get to build stories sometimes. So, like, you know, if we get a second one of these guys, I'm pretty sure Casey Jones is going to show up at some point. So don't, Casey Jones not being in it does not automatically mean the movie's bad. I'd like to clarify that. I'm just saying I'm surprised that they didn't do it.
And I find it bizarre that now with two trailers, I'm like, huh, this is an oddly refreshing take, even though it's not like there haven't been mutants in other versions of Turtles media. But I think because it's the focus this time, it makes it feel different.
It definitely feels like the logical progression of the series, where each new time they reinvent the Turtles, it felt like it was building towards this. You know what I mean? Like the first big, like the 2003 series was just trying to, you know, do something a little more edgy and different. And then we really didn't, there was that huge drought. We had the 07 movie, and the 07 movie was kind of this weird, like, trying to be in the same continuity as the live action movie. So it wasn't really doing its own new thing yet, but it was an animated movie. So there was, like, new elements, but it didn't feel like it was trying to reinvent much. Yeah. You know? And then you had the next two live action movies, which went crazy with the reinvention. And you had the, and what I'm getting towards is the 2012 cartoon and then Rise really kind of feel like they were building towards this, where like the 2012 cartoon started very almost like the 1990 live action movie, where like they were still hidden from the world. Yeah. And they were in the shadows, and by the end of the cartoon, there's like, you know, Triceraton wars and mutants everywhere and tons of mutants. And then Rise kind of expanded on that, was like, you know what, we're gonna start with a ton of mutants everywhere and just, yeah, like, and it kind of feels like this movie is like the logical evolution of that, of like it's more fun when there's more mutants around, but it seems like they still have kind of the grounded reality of 2012. It's almost like a mix of the two, I guess.
Yeah, it's that's perfect, because this is the most logical next version of Turtles. It feels a little IDW to me. So
I'm still waiting to see if that alleged leaked storyboard thing ends up in the movie, because I remember we haven't been able to talk about this on the podcast, but did you watch the leaked storyboard?
I didn't even know about it.
Okay, so it's been a long time since that came out, so I'm not remembering exactly what happened, but something in this trailer made me think that it was real, where spoiler alert if anyone out there is trying to avoid this type of thing, but we don't even know if it's real, but the leaked storyboard thing is kind of them taking the tour of what I think is like an abandoned high school, and Leo mentioning one of the things that he would want to do is go to school in this trailer kind of made me think, oh, maybe that thing is real. And there's another thing that makes me think it's real, where there was like a play set of, I think, the Turtles like lair or something. And the entrance looks exactly like the entrance to the high school from these leaked storyboards.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if their lair is going to be an abandoned high school or what, but I'm starting to think that that sequence was real.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really, really excited for it. So,
yeah, it's going to be amazing. I mean, I really don't think this can miss with what we've seen so far. Like, worst case scenario, we get like a B minus of a movie. I think the worst case scenario is if this movie is on the same level as the 07 movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be any worse. And not that the 07 movie's bad. I'm just saying, like, I don't think it will go lower than that.
So, I'm going to make a bold prediction, and this might end up being, like, my third favorite Turtle movie, just off the trailers.
Your what?
My third favorite Turtle movie.
Well, so what would your top three again be? Refresh my memory.
Oh, well, we haven't, well, we're going to be doing them, but no, my top three would be the 1990 movie. Then I would put the Rise movie second, because I really, really liked that.
And but then, that didn't get a theatrical run,
but I mean, it's a movie.
Oh, it didn't?
Yeah. No, that went right to Netflix, but it's still a movie. And then,
I thought I remember them doing that, but
I wish it went theatrical, because that would have looked really cool on a big screen, but No, Turtles 3 might be number 3 right now. Just personally, I know it. I don't remember scoring wise how stuff fell, but
I think my top 3 would be 90, followed probably by TMNT, and then you're right. Maybe this will end up being number 2, like if it's better than TMNT. But we'll have to wait to see the movie. Yeah, 90 followed by TMNT followed by, I don't know what it would be right now. I used to love Turtles Forever, which you're going to hear our thoughts on that. You know what? That's a good segue.
I was going to say it's probably a good segue that we're going to be doing some movie math before we officially start season four.
Yeah. And I used to love it in my quick elevator 2 second pitch on that. My thoughts on it is like, we've had so many versions of the Turtles since that movie. It just kind of feels outdated now. Where I still like it, but I'm like, I just see how outdated it is when I watch it now.
Yeah.
Like, cause like that was pre IDW, I think. Yeah. So IDW comics, I don't think, I'm going to fact check that real quick.
So while Kevin's
2009, so
2009, yeah. So pre IDW.
Pre IDW version, which it obviously means it's pre the live action versions.
It's pre Nickelodeon
everything. Yeah, so don't get the 2012 Turtles in there. Don't have the Rise Turtles in there. So like, it's almost like they should do a new Turtles Forever with like the four versions of the Turtles we've gotten since.
Yeah. So before we dive into season four, which, I mean, if you're new, hi, welcome. Season four is going to be volume four.
It's going to be insane.
Ninja Turtle
comic. Volume is insane.
Yeah, because the last volume wasn't insane.
Well, the last volume almost felt like fan fiction, though. You know what I mean? Like, this is like from the creators insane. It's a different kind of insane.
Okay. So yeah, speaking of the fan version, so we're going to be talking about the fan ending to the Volume 3 Image Comics run. So that's part of our in between here. And then we're going to do the movie math for Turtles Forever, Batman versus the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the animated movie, and the Rise movie, correct?
Yeah, I think that's all of them. Yeah, I don't think you missed anything.
And then just before we start season four proper, we're getting to it way after the fact, but we're finally going to talk about The Last Ronin.
Yeah, originally I wanted to wait for the series to be complete before we went over it. And then, you know, obviously everyone knows because we've said it a million times, we pre-recorded the last season so much to the point where it was like, too late to talk about it, but now it's almost like enough time's passed where it's like, let's give it like a retrospective, you know? We're not looking at it with that recency bias that lots of people have.
Right.
I think it's going to hold up, though.
Yeah, So I guess before we bounce off here, I'm not crazy about the fact that the last Ronin game's going to be like God of War. It just seems like a strange direction to go with it.
Well, we can talk about that more when we do our last Ronin review, because maybe more news will be out by then. But I mean, who knows? They like when games are in this stage of development, yeah, they say all kinds of things, and then you play the game and you're like, what were they talking about? You know what I mean? Look at how much a little bit into Nintendo therapy. Look at how much the Sky Islands were like the focus of the marketing for Tears of the Kingdom. And there's so much, like they're like a third of the game or less. I would argue even less than a third of what the game is. But that the advertising and all the lead up to that made you think like, oh, this game is all about hopping around Sky Islands. And it's really not.
Though I did finally start it, but we'll get into that on the other podcast. But as far as Turtle video games, since it's been so long since we've talked, I did finally track down a copy of Mutants in Manhattan. And I'll beat it eventually. I played the first level.
I saw, I think it was that they temporarily like re-released on the, what's the Xbox digital store?
Oh, did they?
Oh, no, it was Steam. It like temporarily, it reappeared on Steam for some reason. And I don't know if it got taken down, but it was like, I saw people tweeting about how it was on there again for some reason.
I grabbed it because that I'll never see it in the wild again. So I was like, yeah, let me get it. But I mean, I've played very little of it. I like the art style of it. The gameplay is okay. It's kind of clunky. Like, the way missions are laid out is weird. And you do find yourself running into, not as bad as Shredder's Revenge, but all four turtles are there all the time. So sometimes it's hard to keep track of what you're doing, but not to the extent of when you're playing with six people in Shredder's Revenge. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, I figured I wasn't going to see it again. I might as well get it while I was able. But, yeah, I'm going to play through it, but it's not great. It's okay.
All right. Well, that does it for our little update here. Looking forward to Mutant Mayhem. Keep in mind, like always, we are Turtle fans, not Turtle experts. So email us if you want to let us know anything. And I don't know, we haven't signed off on one of these in a while, but we're coming back soon. We're coming back soon to do some movie reviews. So if you like Ninja Turtle movies, and I suspect you do, keep us subscribed. All right, see you then.